Books of Elsewhere, Chapter 19, page 189. The cold wind rippled through Olive's hair. For the first time, she felt thankful for the icy forest air, for the slight relief it gave her sore skin beneath the searing pendant. Annabelle darted quickly, almost running, down the white path through the trees. Olive trailed after her, unable to even push away the thorny branches that slashed her face and arms. The moon seemed to grow dimmer and more distant as they followed the path into the heart of the forest. At last they came to a clearing, and here the thick trees and underbrush had been swept away, leaving a hole for the pale moonlight to fill. The white path broke into two halves, forming a perfect circle around one stump. Sunk deep into the wood of the stump glittered something that looked to Olive like the hilt of a dagger. There was a soft whimpering from one side of the clearing. Olive couldn't turn her head, but forced her eyes in the direction of the familiar sound. She spotted Morton, still wearing his oversized nightshirt tied to a small bare tree. Olive's whole body itched with frustration. She wanted to run to him, but she couldn't even speak. Annabelle set the urn gently on the smooth surface of the stump, and now with both hands free, she crossed the clearing and untied Morton. Although Olive noticed that Morton's little ankles were still bound together, so that he nearly had to hop as Annabelle hustled him back to the stump. Morton's round, terrified face looked up at Olive. Olive, who couldn't move anything else, gave Morton the biggest wink she could manage. Slowly, Annabelle removed the lid from the urn, and in the moonlight, her face was twisted and cruel, her eyes like little oil fires. Olive couldn't believe she had ever found Annabelle beautiful. "Hold out your hand, boy," said Annabelle to Morton. Morton froze, too terrified to move. Olive thought of the rabbit she had seen in the backyard, who seemed to imagine that motionlessness made them invisible. Unfortunately, this didn't work for Morton any better than it worked for the rabbits. Annabelle grabbed Morton's arm roughly, and he let out a frightened peep. She turned his little hand, palm up, over the open urn. "Come closer, Olive," Annabelle whispered. Olive's feet shuffled nearer to the stump, even while her brain commanded them not to. Annabelle reached out, grasped the pendant that hung around Olive's neck, and dragging Olive down to the urn. Then she yanked the dagger out of the stump. The moonlight flashed on its sharp blade as Annabelle dragged the knife swiftly across Morton's palm. Drops of blood, or paint, black in the darkness, fell over the gold metal of the locket and into the urn's open mouth. And with the point of the dagger, Annabelle wedged open the filigreed halves of the pendant. Olive heard the click of a tiny hinge. Inside the locket was a portrait, and even though the painting was upside down, Olive could make out a face, a bony, angular face with deep pits for eyes and a sharp, square jaw. She recognized it instantly. It was the man from the old photograph she found in the back of the chest of drawers. "Come out, Grandfather," Annabelle said slowly. Like smoke, the image in the portrait slithered out of the locket toward the open mouth of the urn. Annabelle bowed her head. "I have kept my promise to you," she whispered. "This is still our house. It will always be ours, and no one will ever again chase our family away." Olive glanced at Morton from the corner of her eye. He was staring down, mouth agape, squeezing his hand. The cut had vanished. Annabelle lifted the urn above her head. Its gold body flashed in the moonlight. A sudden wind rose, knocking Olive and Morton off of their feet. Olive managed to catch herself and realize that her body was once again doing what she told it to. The necklace hung cold and heavy against her shirt. Morton scrambled toward her. She wrapped her arms tightly around his skinny shoulders, and this time Morton didn't shrug her arms away. The black trees bent wildly in the wind. Bits of dead leaves and twigs whipped through the chilly air. Olive squinted up into the fading light to see that Annabelle was laughing, holding the urn high. A trail of ashes coiled from the urn's mouth as Olive watched the rising ashes grow thicker, darker, and spinning through the air. They eclipsed the moon and they filled the sky and they muffled Annabelle's triumphant laugh with the sound of swirling and papery storm. Pulling Morton alongside her, Olive crawled toward the edge of the clearing. The cycling wind sucked at them, trying to pull them back. Head down, Olive fought her way out into the trees, moving into the crouch and then a run. "Wait," called Morton, who was hopping after her as fast as he could. His ankles were still bound together. Behind him, the ashes sky through the trees like the wings of a million black insects. The sound alone made Olive's skin crawl. She scrambled back toward Morton. With shaking, freezing hands, she managed to slip one of the bare feet out of the rope. Together, they scuttled into the white path just ahead of the swirling ashes. "Hurry," Olive yelled. "Run! If we can get to the picture frame, we can call for help."
Morton tucked his chin to his chest and he pumped his little legs as fast as he possibly could. Olive raced along beside him, holding tight to his ham. The wind struck at them like leather whips, and Olive's hair flew in every direction and into her mouth and into her eyes. They had come to the end of the path, but the sky was getting darker and colder, and dead grass lashed wildly around their ankles. The frame with its picture of the hallway glowed dimly ahead of them. "Horatio!" Olive screamed. "Leopold! Harvey! Help us!" yelled Morton. Still running, Olive looked up at the spot where the moon used to be, and in the dark clouds of ash she was sure she could make out a face, an angular face with pits where eyes should have been. It roiled and spread, blotting all but the faintest glow of the moonlight. Olive turned back toward the frame a moment too late. A long black tree branch swung out across a path, thwacking her in the stomach. She landed on her back, dragging Morton along with such force that he did a backward somersault. Olive flipped over onto her hands and knees. "Follow me and stay low," she commanded. They scrambled off the path into the thick underbrush. "If we can just wait long enough, I'm sure Horatio will come for us. I'm sure he will." And Morton nodded, squinting in the wind. "Here, this is a good spot," Olive whispered as they crawled into a cluster of massive tree trunks. "Let's just stay hidden and wait." Morton squeezed close to Olive, and they both wriggled down against the roots of the trees. "I told you I was real," he whispered. "I have blood. You saw it." "I know," Olive answered. "I know." She thought of the silence where Morton's heartbeat should have been, the blood that might have actually been paint. "You were real once," she thought to herself, aloud. She only said, "I'm sorry. I didn't believe you." Morton nodded, looking down at his bare toes, and Olive smoothed out the rumples in his nightshirt, making sure it covered his legs. And then they were quiet for a moment, leaning against each other. Olive tried sending out a mental distress signal to Horatio. Sometimes people in stories did that. "Come and get us," she thought. And then, just because she knew how much Horatio would hate it, she thought, "Here, kitty, 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 kitty," and had to swallow an insane giggle. Something behind them moved. Olive could feel it shifting in the ground. It trailed over her arm, and when she looked down, one tree root had snaked out of the dirt and was wrapping itself around her wrist. She gasped, scuttling away. Another branch reached toward her. She dodged before it could coil around her neck. Morton was kicking at the roots that were trying to bind his ankles. "Get up," shouted Olive, slapping at the branches. "We have to move. It's Annabelle. She's trying to trap us." Dodging out of the underbrush, Morton and Olive ran back onto the clear space of the path. "The cats might not hear us. They might not be able to help us," Olive puffed to Morton. "But if they don't, nobody will know we are here, and then neither of us will ever see our families." A sob squeezed down Olive's voice. She pictured her parents coming home and finding the house empty. They would panic and cry and call the police, never knowing that their daughter was stuck on the other side of the picture frame at the top of the hallway stairs. Morton's parents had probably done the very same thing years and years ago, never guessing that their little boy was right next door, waiting to be found before it was too late. But nobody did find him, and now it was too late. "No." Olive stopped so suddenly that Morton almost crashed into her. "No, no, it wasn't too late. She wouldn't let it be too late. Morton had been stuck in this painting before, and she wasn't going to let it happen to him again. She wasn't going to let it happen to her." Morton gaped up at her. "What? What? Why are we stopping?" Olive made her voice as steady as she could. "Morton, we can wait for the cats." "We can't wait for the cats. We have to get those spectacles. If we take them and get out, then Annabelle will be stuck in here for good." Morton cringed, looking past Olive into the trees. "Look," he whispered, pointing. From where he stood, they could just glimpse Annabelle through the trees, the pastels of her trailing skirt pale against the black silhouettes. They had run almost all the way back to the clearing. Olive and Morton slunk closer, keeping as quiet as they could while dodging and fighting off the branches that grabbed them. They stopped at the edge of the clearing and huddled between the trunks. "We should split up," Olive whispered to Morton. She jerked her arm away from a persistent branch and glanced toward the sky. The swirling clouds were thickening and pulling into a huge spinning funnel. The face Olive had seen, if it was still there, she felt sure that it was, seemed to be lost in the churning dark. "Something is happening. I'm not sure how much time we'll have." "Right," Morton nodded, his moony head bouncing like a bobblehead doll on a dashboard. "I'll distract her and you get the spectacles." Olive stared hard at Morton for a moment, and then something intent and solemn had settled over the fear of his face, like a cloak hiding everything but its faint outline. "All right," she whispered, "be careful." Morton nodded once more, and then he tripped on the hem of the nightshirt. He stumbled away to the right. Olive crouched, squinting into the clearing, and Annabel was walking around and around the stump, mumbling something to herself and making signs in the air. Olive could see the spectacles hanging around Annabel's neck. Her heart gave a hopeful little bounce. A thin branch coiled around Olive's leg, and she kicked at it distractedly. The branch snapped and quickly mended its broken halves, and in the clearing, Annabel froze. And just then, Morton charged into the open, still tugging at something strapped to his leg. Olive squinted, trying to see through the darkness. In Morton's fist was a little flashlight Olive had brought him. "Ta-da!" he sang. He flicked on the light. A tiny, cheerful streak of gold bobbed around the clearing like a firefly. But it was too late. Annabel had spotted Olive. "Hey, lady!" Morton shouted. "Over here, look!" Morton pointed the flashlight toward the dark sky. The clouds swirled and broke and pulling away from its beam. Annabel ignored him, and she turned toward Olive with a sickening smile and gestured with both hands. The trees around Olive sprang to life, and the roots knotted around her ankles. The branches locked her arms tight against her sides. Another branch wrapped itself around her neck, and it began to squeeze. Olive felt her face start to tingle. "The old man doesn't like this. You better come over here and stop me," she heard Morton shouting in the distance. Olive couldn't breathe, and little fireworks exploded in front of her eyes. Through them, she could see Annabel moving closer, the spectacles glinting on their chain. And in the distance, a little white shape darted forward. Something gleamed through the darkness. "Yah!" Morton yowled, leaping forward and landing on Annabelle's trailing skirt, pinning her to the ground. Annabel whirled around. The beam of Morton's flashlight stuck her full in the face, and Annabel let out a shriek and raised her arms, shielding her eyes from the light. All at once, the branches around Olive's body loosened, and with a wriggle, she slipped out of the grasp and charged the trees into the clearing, throwing herself against Annabel's back. Morton still had the flashlight aimed at Annabel's eyes. "Yah!" he shouted again. Annabel covered her face with one arm and flailed blindly at Morton with the other. "Grandfather!" Annabel yelled toward the sky. Olive felt his fist close around the spectacles and yanked backward with all the strength in her body, and the chain snapped and the spectacles were secure in her hand. "Come on!" Olive shouted, grabbing Morton's arm. They bolted down the path, the beam of Morton's flashlight bobbing wildly over the ground in front of them. Its light was already getting weaker. "I think the batter is draining out," gasped Morton. Another pair of running footsteps joined the sound of their own. Olive glanced over her shoulder. Annabel was after them, the dagger she had used to cut Morton clasped in her fist. Olive put on the spectacles. "When we get to the frame," she panted to Morton, "you go first, and I'll be right behind you." The small square of the hallway light shone just a few steps in front of them. Olive pushed Morton ahead, and he grabbed the bottom of the frame. Olive held him by the ankle, and Morton dove out into the hallway, and Annabel lunged closer, her hands reaching out, her mouth forming a furious no. Willing herself not to look back, Olive grasped the frame. She heaved her body over it, pushing her head and shoulders out into the gold light of the hallway, but she couldn't get any farther. Annabel's hand was locked around her foot. She kicked wildly, her legs hitting nothing but the cold, swirling air of the forest. And then there was a sudden tug, the sensation of something slipping away. Her left sock was gone. Her foot was free of Annabel's grasp. Annabel stumbled backward, still clutching Olive's stripy sock, and Olive toppled out into the hallway. She landed on her stomach into the hall carpet, and Morton sat in exhausted silence beside her. And then his eyes grew wide. He looked at Olive. "We did it!" he said. He scrambled to his feet. "We did it! We did it!" he chanted, hopping up and down, waving the dead flashlight. Something sharp was poking Olive in the ribs, but she didn't seem to be bleeding. She knew it wasn't Annabel's knife. She felt around cautiously with one hand. Broken glass. Olive jerked upright, grasping the bent wire that still dangled from the chain around her neck. She had landed on the spectacles. "Uh-oh," said Morton softly. "I know," said Olive. "I broke them. I break everything." "Look," whispered Morton. Olive glanced up. Following Morton's eyes in the frame where the painted forest should have been, a black cloud was pouring out into the hallway. It ran over the bottom edge of the frame like a dark waterfall. It gathered into a pool, and then the pool began to grow higher, thicker, and larger, until it was a pillar that nearly reached the ceiling. There was a body in the pillar, a tall, gaunt body with a rigid face, and deep pits where eyes should have been. It towered over them in a whirl of ashes. The pits of the eyes stared down at Morton and Olive. The air turned to ice, and then the lights went out.